yes, we're off on the road. Again, I thank you so much for being here. It is wonderful to see you here. You know, we're going to keep trying to keep going on and you know, keep this going. You know, I know it's going to be a little different and hard, you know, trying to communicate and stuff like this, but maybe later on I'm going to try to open up that chat, the live chat in the group, so we can still talk. But this is what we're going to be doing for right now. I'm going to keep trying to do Friday night sermons if you're willing to come, you know. So the faithful few, hopefully, you know, they get used to Zoom and they start coming back here. So again, I'm glad that you're here tonight. So again, I'm looking forward to the message because, again, this is something that's been on my heart and kind of in a way I'm dealing with it myself, you know. And generally, I told a friend of mine the other day, you know, a pastor friend, I said, why is it, you know, sometimes when we write sermons, that sometimes that either we have to go through it after we preach it, or we've been through it, or we lived it. But so a lot of these sermons lately, it's been personal because I've been dealing with it. So tonight, I hope you kind of enjoyed this one. If you've seen the message, you're probably kind of wondering about the title, you know, Do Not Be Afraid of Money. And you kind of wonder, like, well, I wonder what that's going to be about. But hopefully with this message, you'll understand where I'm going with this. So I want us to think about something. And I've been kind of, you know, dealing with this myself, and I've been talking to other people, you know, around town, people I know in real life, and people that I know on Facebook groups and other things, that most of us are prone to worry about money. I'm one of them. Sometimes I worry about money. I don't know about you, but, you know, I do worry about money. And if what I look at, if we look at it this way, some folks look at it this way. They worry about money, and then all of a sudden they look at it, well, what if I don't have enough? Or we worry about how to get it. Or if we have plenty of it. We worry about whether we really have enough or how to hang on to what we have. I have seen this over and over and over. People are constantly worrying about money. They are afraid of money. And they're not afraid of having it. They're just afraid of not getting it. And like one fellow I was just bringing up a while ago, he's dealing with some stuff right in his life right now. You see, folks, the way I've been looking at this, worry to me has been described as a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Now, let me try to rephrase that. What I'm trying to say, you know, when people start to worry, to me, it's cutting a channel through your mind in which all your thoughts starts to drain. And what I mean by that when you focus so much on worry, all the other thoughts go out the window. You kind of lose, in a sense, control of those thoughts. We shouldn't worry, period. But worries about money really can easily become a deep channel into your mind because many people, again, especially in today's times, worry constantly about money. But I want you to know that Jesus wants his followers, you and I, to be free from worries about money. He's just, if we look at what we're fixing to read in a little bit, that he was speaking to the crowd about dangers of greed and living for this world without a view to eternity. In our text we're about to read, folks, you know, Jesus speaks to his disciples who were perhaps feeling anxious about whether they would have enough to live on. He shows them that anxiety is opposed to trust in God, who lovingly cares for his own. He also shows that to go to the other extreme and pursue riches is at odds with seeking God's kingdom. And you may understand this, and hopefully you do when we get started into this message. See, what he is teaching us, that to solve worries about money, you and I must trust in a God who cares for us and seek his kingdom above our own needs. Now, I was thinking about this when I wrote this little part right here. See, the world itself, and some of you have heard this song in the past, but the world itself sings, "Don't worry, be happy." But folks, it has no bias for such advice other than blind optimism. But the Christians can and should sing, "Don't worry, trust God." You understand what I'm saying? We, as followers of Jesus Christ, should sing, "Don't worry, trust God." Now, this is far from blind optimism, because it's based solidly on the nature and character of God and His many promises to us. Again, my friends, don't worry, trust God, because again, it's based solidly on the nature and character of God and His promises. If you got your Bible with you, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 through 34. That's the scriptures we're going to be reading. Luke chapter 12, 32 to 34. Let me get some water. All right. And basically, I'm going to back this up a little bit. So let's just start off in chapter 12, verse 29 through 34. You know, I was looking at this a little bit earlier. I think, well, let me back up just a little further. So we're going to start off with verse 29. And start in chapter 12, verse 29, it says in Luke, "Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need Him. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, we ask of you to be with us in mind, body, and spirit. And Father, for this short little time that we gather together, we ask of you just to be with us and help us and keep our minds focused on you and your kingdom, because we should be looking upwards to you, not looking inward to ourselves and not looking to this world and not looking to finances and not looking to all these things. I know we need some of these things. I know that we have to have these things. I know we got to live with some of these things, but that should not be our driving force. What should be driving us is you and your kingdom. Father, we should be living for you. We should be submitting ourselves to you. We should be trusting you in all things. And I know sometimes we get a little worried. We get a little bit anxious. You know, we kind of get out of whack. And Father, I just ask of you right now just to give us the strength and the courage to look to you in all these trying times that we're facing in today's times. I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight, to anoint them, to be with them. Let them know that you love them very much. And Father, I ask of you to anoint this message, to use me as your instrument, because it's not about me. It's always about you. We must decrease in order for you to increase. So Father, we praise you and glorify you. We give it all to you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. That's why, again, my friends, I titled this message, you know, and you've seen it when I posted it in the Facebook link, that "Do not be afraid of money." Now, when I kind of told my wife this title last night, she kind of looked at me a little funny and said, "That's kind of an odd title, isn't it?" I said, "Well, in a way, yeah, it looks like it, but you have to listen to it to understand where I'm going with this." And I was trying to, you know, figure out, well, maybe I should change that title. And I couldn't just figure out. And I was just thinking and thinking and praying and thinking and praying and thinking and praying. I'm like, well, I really don't know how to title this no other way, but this way, "Do not be afraid of money." So I'm hoping that you will understand this, and maybe that's why you see where I'm going with this, because I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've been doing a lot of reading. I've been reading some books with John Piper and some other studies, and it was nice getting back into my studies, so I'm kind of enjoying that. But in today's text that we just read in Luke chapter 12, verse 32 to 34, basically, it has to do with the big pattern of how you and I worship with our money. And so, by implication, it relates to what we do with our money in corporate worship as well. So, let's look at some of the main points in the text we just read and let it apply to our lives in general and to our corporate giving in particular. Notice this when it says, do not fear. Now, the main point of the text, especially starting off in verse 32, is that God commands you and us not to fear when it comes to money and things. Let me repeat this. God commands us not to fear when it comes to money and things. Notice what it says. Do not worry. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly, and pay attention to this, to give you the kingdom. But there is another way to say the point that goes deeper. There is. And the reason God wants us not to be afraid concerning money and things is because that would magnify five great things about him. It would magnify five great things about him if we would not be afraid concerning money. Not being afraid would echo how much we treasure these five things about God. And if you're a note taker, I'm going to try to go through it slow so you can write it down. But in other words, my friends, not being afraid would become, a beautiful inner act of worship. You see where I'm going with this? If we are not afraid, my friends, it will be a wonderful inner act of worship, because what that is saying to God, that is saying, God, we trust you. You get this? When you don't worry, you're basically telling God, Father, I may not understand these things. I may not know what's going on, but I trust you. And that's why I paid particular attention to these passages right here, because when it says, do not be afraid, little flock, that's talking about us. What he says here is that we, you and I, are his flock, and that he is our shepherd. And if he is our shepherd, then Psalms 23 applies, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is, I shall not lack anything I really need. I'm trying to emphasize here, folks, not fearing magnifies the precious nature of our shepherd. The second thing, and we're covering five things about why we shouldn't worry about money. The second thing is, not being afraid shows that we treasure God as our Father. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Wow. You see that? That's not me saying that. This is his words. His holy words. He is saying that he has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. We are not only his little flock, we are also his children. And he is our heavenly Father. The significance of that is clear from the verse 30. When you look at those verses, when you look at verse 30, it says it's very clear about that. And it says it right there. All these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. In other words, my friends, your Father really cares and really knows what you need and will work for you to be sure that you have what you need. Now, I'm speaking from experiences because recently, not getting into too much detail, but we're struggling a little bit with the finances. And me and my wife had a little discussion, and quite frankly, you know, it's natural to be afraid. It's natural not knowing where you're going to have money to pay bills. We're just facing a predicament, you know, because grass cutting season to me has been out because we've been experiencing winter. So I don't have that income coming in. So all that fell on her back. And she's been doing her best to cover. But we got really into a very tight situation where we didn't have the money to pay our utility bills. And we was wondering, you know, like, well, you know, at the time when we had the little discussion and kind of, you know, didn't get bad, but she was stressed out. And she said some things that hurt me. I've forgiven her. I mean, I understand it. She was just under stress. And later as we talked, she told me, I didn't realize I said those things. I didn't realize I said that to you. I said, well, unfortunately, yes, you did, but I'm not holding that against you. But you see, we was looking at 5 more days, our lights was going to be cut off. But Sunday, something happened. A friend of ours in church gave us money to pay the light bill. And that's just why this message stuck to my heart. This is why it stuck to my heart. Because again, I looked at my wife when we was coming home the Sunday night. And I gave her the money. I said, look what so-and-so gave us. And she said, why did he have to do that? I said, baby, why do you think? God knows what we need. But we have to be at this point where we have not to worry about the money. We have to not worry about things. Scriptures are very clear. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and you shall receive. And if you do so in the right motivation, trust in God. I know it looks bleak at times, but you know what? He does come through. That humbled me. I was trying to tell the person, no, I don't want the money. No. You don't have to. I don't want to put no guilt trip on you. I wasn't saying this. You asked me how I was feeling. I'm just letting you know I'm dealing with some stuff. But yet, this brother pulled money out from his wallet and said, here, I want you to have it. You see, folks, in other words, as I said, your Father really cares and really knows what you need and will work for you to be sure that you have what you need. Now, I want to throw a word of caution here. And I have seen many Christians do this, and I've done this myself a few times. Beware of dictating to God what you think need is instead of learning what he thinks need is. In case if you're not getting that, what I'm trying to tell us right now, be careful trying to dictate to God. God, I know what need is. You don't. Don't think that way. Instead, learn how to learn what he thinks need is. The third way of not to worrying about money, not being afraid, shows that we treasure God as King. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He can give us the kingdom because guess what? He's the King. He's the King, my friends. That's His. And this adds tremendous element of power to the one who provides for us. And when you break this down, you break that passage down, look at these words when it says shepherd. Shepherd connotes protection and provision. Father connotes love and tenderness and authority and provision and guidance. King connotes power and sovereignty and wealth. So, if we trust God as shepherd and father and king, and not be afraid about money and things, then we will show how real and precious God is to us in all these ways. Once we do that, God will be worshipped. Like I said about the story, I was facing that light bill. Once I gave her the money, we looked at each other driving down the road. We bowed our heads. And we was humbled. Because in a way, I'm prideful because, you know, I'm supposed to be the man of the family. I'm supposed to be the breadwinner. I'm supposed to be pulling in all this money. And I'm struggling. I'm trying my best. And I've been begging and pleading with God. God, help me. But you know what? I was a little concerned, but I wasn't going to worry. It looked bad, but I wasn't going to worry. And look what it did. The light is on for another month. God is worshiped in my house and in my heart. Even though I am struggling, I'm still facing with other things. Even though my prayer life is hard to be focused right now also, but I'm still going to worship God. I'm being hit. I know you're probably being hit with many things and dealing with many struggles. But I'm purposely going to say, you know what? I'm having a hard time. I'm having difficulties. I don't understand it. But all I can do is trust you. All I can do is trust you. You see, folks, I'm looking at this passage right here in Psalms chapter 56, 34 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose words I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? The fourth thing is, in order to magnify God when we do not worry about money, is not being afraid shows how free and generous God is. Not being afraid shows how free and generous God is. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Now notice, he gives the kingdom. He gives the kingdom. He doesn't sell the kingdom or rent the kingdom or lease the kingdom. He gives it. He is infinitely wealthy and does not need our payments. Anything we will try to give him, listen to this, listen very carefully. Anything we would try to give him would already be his anyway. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, which says, what do you have that you did not receive? You see that? What do you have, my friends, that you did not receive? Everything that we got is his. So how can we give it to him when he already owns it? So, God is generous and free with his bounty. And this is what we can magnify about him when we are not afraid, but trust him with all our needs. And finally, not being afraid shows that we treasure God as happy. Oh, hold on. Yeah. See, the flesh didn't want that. Finally, my friends, the fifth thing, not being afraid shows that we treasure God as happy. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And with that, it is good pleasure. It pleases Him to give you the kingdom. He wants to do this. It makes Him glad to do it. Not all of us has fathers like this who love to give us things, who were made happy by giving instead of getting. But that doesn't matter, my friends, because now you can have such a father and a shepherd and a king. Trust Him as your Father through the reconciling work of Jesus. And you'll find Him to be your Father. And in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. You probably heard all this, and you know, and I am recording, and I'm sorry. I just not really gotten time to re-edit this and re-upload these to my YouTube channels. I'm going to try my best maybe in the future to get to it, but I just hope that you get something out of this. But in closing, well, I'm leaving y'all with this question. So what's the point in all that I just said? Well, the point is that there is a powerful impulse in the Christian life towards simplicity rather than accumulation. Now, I'm going to stop right here for a second. As I just said, a friend of ours is dealing with some difficulties. And he honestly told me, I'm mad. I'm angry. I see some people with partners. I see people with things and stuff. And doing good. And I don't have it. I'm not saying nothing about my dear brother. Plus he's dealing with other issues. But see, he's afraid of money and things. He's afraid. We need to have that powerful impulse in our Christian life towards simplicity rather than worrying about accumulations. Now, that's easier said than done, and I guarantee you this. Each one of you here tonight, I guarantee you're living under a roof. You got your utilities. Some of you may have some nice meal that you're going to eat a little bit later on. Some of us, like me, has got some chicken pot pies or something I got to go eat, because that's all I can afford to eat for right now. But lately, I'm starting to look at things more in a simplistic manner. And lately, I'm starting to live. Me and Fred was talking a little bit earlier about, you know, the closing of the chat room. You know, I was kind of, at one point, it was dreading thinking about closing. I was hating to see it close. But lately, no one's been coming to it no more. No one's been hanging out into it no more. But it's just the simplicity of it. Why keep paying all that money for when it's serving no more purpose? I don't have the money to pay that no more. But now, I'm more focused on simplicity than accumulation. I'm more focused on being simple because now I want to do things somewhere else. I'm going to try something later on down the road, you know, when I do have time. But right now, I'm trying to be more focused on serving God, doing some lawn care stuff, get back into some reading, and teaching like I've been doing at church. You know, I'm starting to enjoy that. And that's turning out to be real good, and I'm happy. Yet, you know, we were struggling, and we were all struggling, you know. So I am, you know, worried about, hey, you know, where are we going to get the money from? But grass is starting to grow. I'm getting some lawns back. I'm hoping to pick up some more clients, you know, and jobs here and there. But I'm not going to worry about the money. I'm not going to worry about it. Now, back to this point when I said, well, what's the point? Well, there is a powerful impulse in the Christian life towards simplicity rather than accumulation. Because, see, friends, the impulse comes from treasuring God as shepherd and father and king more than we treasure all our possessions. And the impulse is a strong impulse for two reasons. Reason one is that Jesus said, how hard is it for the rich, literally those who have things, to enter the kingdom of God? And that's Luke chapter 18, verse 24. Also in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus said that riches choke the word of God. But you and I, we want to enter the kingdom vastly more than we are wanting things. We don't want the word of God choked up in our lives. We don't want these things to interfere with us. Let's be simple. Let the word of God be rich in our lives. So, if we start thinking more heavenly thoughts and looking up upwards to God and trusting Him, it will give us the strong impulse to be simple rather than to worry about accumulations. The more that you focus, the more that you don't worry, the more that you trust in God, the more that you will have the simplicity of life rather than worrying about accumulations. And the second reason is that we want the preciousness of God to be manifested to the world. Now, you kind of might be looking at me like a little funny. If you probably were in front of me, I might see some of you rolling your head a little bit. What did he say? I said the other reason that we want the preciousness of God is to be manifested to the world. And the reason why I'm saying that, because the world needs to see how much faith we really do have in what we believe. And Jesus tells us here that selling things and giving alms is one way to show that God is real and precious as the shepherd, the father, and the king. And the whole point from this text is we, you and I, should treasure God as our shepherd and father and king, who is generous and happy to give us the kingdom of God, to give us heaven, to give us eternal life, and joy, and everything we need to get is there, not here. If we treasure God this way, if we trust Him, we will be fearless and God will be worshipped. When trusting God as shepherd, father, and king, it carries a strong impulse towards simplicity rather than accumulation. And this brings us to a point where we worship out from the inner hidden place of the heart and into more visible actions for the glory of God. Don't miss this utterly radical point. Don't. It is the way Jesus Himself thinks and talks all the time. Being heavenly minded makes a radically loving difference in this world. The people who are most powerfully persuaded that what matters most treasures in heaven, not big accumulations of money here, are the people who will constantly dream of ways to simplify and to serve. to simplify and to serve. To simplify and to serve. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. This is what Jesus meant in Luke chapter 16:13 when he said, "No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. To serve money is to cherish money and pursue all the benefits money can give. The heart goes after money. But friends, to serve God means to cherish God and to pursue all the benefits God can give. The heart goes after God. The heart goes after God. And friends, with this, Jesus commands us to accumulate treasures in heaven. That is, to maximize our joy in God. And that is worship, the heart cherishing God and seeking Him as the treasures above all treasures. Friends, when you think this way, when you start trusting this way, and when you're not afraid of money, and your heart seeks after God, you will have your peace. And friends, this is the foundation of this sermon. And what is coming is possible because of His promises. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you again for being with us. I know this was a lot to cover, and you've given me a lot to think about. Sometimes, you know, like I was joking with my friend, you know, I just don't know why whenever you lead me to a message, that most times that I have to live it, or most times I have lived it, or most times I'm dealing with it. Sometimes I think you got a sense of humor, you know, but I think what this demonstrates that where am I placing my trust? Is it the masters of the world and money and things and possessions and accumulations, or is it trusting in you? As one of my friends, I'm praying for him tonight that, Father, don't let him fall. The enemy wants to drag him down. The world wants to choke the word of God out of him. And don't let that happen. So I ask of you, those who are here tonight, give us the strength. I know it's hard and it's difficult and we face financial difficulties. And we kind of do worry a little bit about money. And I know we shouldn't. You know, I'm not saying we should be lazy. But we're just going to have to trust you that you're going to see us through these difficult times. All I can do is just pray and ask in the name of Jesus to help us and help us deal with these things. So, Father, thank you again for using me to present this message. I hope the folks here tonight got something out of it. I know I did. I know I did when reviewing these notes and adding this and adding that. It got me looking at myself, you know. So, again, I thank you. I want you to know I love you. And I do trust you. I know it's hard, but I do. So, Father, thank you again for loving me and looking past all my faults. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for me. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for trying to teach me and guide me. Bless these folks here tonight and be with them and let them have a wonderful weekend. And, Father, I ask of you if they can be here again next week, whatever message may be, it's going to be. We're going to keep trying this way, you know, as long as they want to hear it. I'm going to be ready to present it the best way I can. So, Father, again, thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.